In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
My friend, whom I call Mrs. G, had a miserable marriage. 33 years of nothing but misery. And by the time 33 years had gone by, she and her husband sat down and agreed to a divorce. Both of them decided they'd had it up to here with the other one, and there wasn't anything else to do but get a divorce. And it wasn't very long after that decision was made that she came to hear me speak somewhere near Boston. And I don't remember anything about what my talk was on that day. And she says that I only said one sentence about the subject of treating other people the way you treat the Lord Jesus. And I use the verse, Matthew 25:40, "Inasmuch as you've done it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you've done it for me, and he will not forget." That's my addition there. And she said, "You told us that we're supposed to treat everybody the way we treat Jesus." And of course, I hope I added that you're not looking at a woman who always treats everybody the way I want to treat Jesus. Of course not. You're looking at a sinner. And I sin against that command over and over again. But God used that simple word. And that lady went out of that church and she said, "I made up my mind, it is impossible, but I'm going to try it." She went back to her house. She said, "I found my husband sitting, as always, like a mummy on the sofa, gazing at the tube." And she said, "I just went into the room and I just said to him, 'Honey, could I talk to you for a minute?'" And she said, for the first time in 33 years, he turned off the TV and listened. And she said, "I didn't know what to say." What do you say when you're talking to Jesus? Well, you say, "Forgive me." And so instead of going in there with the idea that she was going to start listing all the things that he'd done against her again, which they'd been over 1,000 times, she found herself, by the power of the Holy Spirit, confessing her sins against him, asking him to forgive her. And she didn't get very far in her list before he stopped her and started confessing his sins. And she said, "Elizabeth, I am so in love with that man now. I could never have dreamed it possible. I love him as I never loved him before." And she said, "It's been a whole month, and we've not even had an argument. And we never got through a week without an argument before." Well, I got that letter, and I was amazed and thankful and praised the Lord for it. And when 4 months had gone by, I wanted to use the story on the radio, and I hope some of you heard that. You need to hear it again, don't you? So do I. And so I called her to ask again how things were going. I asked her permission to use her story on the radio and also in my talks. And of course, I haven't given her name, but she was glad to give permission. And I said, "And how's it going now?" And she said, "Elizabeth, it's better than ever. God completely transformed our lives because we made up our minds to treat each other as we would want to treat Jesus." Choose your attitude. My friend, Nay Bailey, who works with Campus Crusade, was traveling in Poland. On the railroad station, the train had just arrived, and two very nicely dressed, nice-looking young men came rushing up to ask her if they could help her get her suitcases onto the train. She had two big suitcases, and she had a shoulder bag. And so she very gratefully said yes, and they heaved her suitcases up onto the train, and the train pulled out, and the men jumped off. And when she went and sat down in her seat, she found that they had rifled her shoulder bag. So it was a typical sting operation, which they probably had pulled off many times. In her shoulder bag, of course, she had all her money, all her traveler's checks, her passport, and all the government papers that she needed to be traveling in Poland. So she said, I simply said to the Lord, I don't know what you're going to do about this, Lord. You know my predicament, but I'm going to choose to thank you. Thank you for letting this happen. And at the next station, she got off and went to the nearest police station and, of course, reported what had happened. But she made up her mind that she would tell every single person that she had to talk to, the American Express people and the embassy and all the rest of them, she was going to tell them what had happened, and she was going to tell them that she had thanked God. And of course, in each place that she went, they looked at her as if she was absolutely crazy. And they said, well, you know, this happens every day, and we've never heard of anybody getting anything back again. And she said, I just prayed that God, because God knew what I needed, that he would get back whatever he knew I needed. And lo and behold, everything was turned into a police station, with the exception of $60 in American cash. They said, things like that don't happen. But Nay had chosen her attitude, thanksgiving instead of absolute panic. Just, Lord, you've got it all in your hands. You know what I need. She was there on the Lord's business. Another prayer that helps me very much, and I often use other people's words in my prayers because they have expressed so much better than I could have ever thought of expressing them, just exactly what I need to say. And there's a certain prayer called the Orthodox Morning Prayer, and one of the phrases in there is, teach me to treat all that comes to me with peace of soul and with firm conviction that your will governs all. And that's worth writing down if you haven't written anything else down today. Let me give it to you again. Teach me to treat all that comes to me with peace of soul and with firm conviction that your will governs all. And back again to Philippians 2, and this is now point 3 of the outline. Let this mind, let that be the heading of that third point. Let this mind be in you. And verses 12 to 18 in Philippians 2 say this, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Very important lesson for you to teach your little children. And Valerie has told me that she can get her children to do the work that she's assigned to them. She has succeeded in making her children obedient most of the time. But she said the most difficult thing in the world is to get them to do it cheerfully. Oh, Mom, you know, we were going to do this or that. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Oh, come on, Mom. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? Verse 15 says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Perhaps you already feel so overloaded with stuff that I've been dishing out to you this morning that you feel as though there really isn't, you don't know where to start. You don't know what to do. And how in the world am I ever going to learn to choose my attitude? A very good place to start is cut out the complaining. Don't even complain about the weather. Anybody tempted to do that? Quit complaining. You know, I lived with Indians in the jungle for 11 years. I never heard an Indian complain about the weather. And we had terrible weather. But the reason we're supposed to do things without complaining is so that we may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. In order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Paul's yearning goes out to these Philippian Christians whom he loves. And he doesn't want to feel as though he has run the race for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Are you prepared to shine in your neighborhood, in your family, in your church, like lights in the world? Start simple. Just decide you're not going to complain anymore. No grumbling. Receive what God gives you with both hands. Let His attitude be the same as yours. Let your attitude be His. Be willing to pay the price. Be willing to put into practice the specific ways in which your attitude needs to be revised. And remember, Isaiah 50 verse 7 says, "The Lord God will help me." That's one of my life verses. I use it all the time. I got a new computer a couple of weeks ago. I just am going crazy trying to learn that computer. And every time I get so upset with the computer, I just think of those words, "The Lord God will help me. He understands this machine. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." May God help us to choose His kind of attitude. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.